Hey, happy Thursday evening and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Our Sport Look sponsors, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you. And Gus, it gets pretty busy. We've got a great upcoming football schedule here on Care Radio, and basketball is going to be coming up also. And tomorrow night, we've got Eudora coming to Amelia Earhart Stadium as the Atchison Phoenix will be at home in the second round of the playoffs. 7 o'clock ball game Friday night here on Care Radio, Atchison-Eudora. Saturday afternoon, and we'll have to get up early to get on our way to Nixon, Missouri. The Benedictine Ravens will play game 10 of the season as they will be hosted by Evangel. 12:30 for the K-Radio pregame. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff, Benedictine and Evangel Saturday. And then next Thursday, not only is there going to be Sports Look, but we've got Benedictine men's basketball as they renew a series with a longtime opponent, Avila. So Benedictine Avila a week from tonight in the Nolan. Gosh, it is, you know, it feels to me, guys, like it's actually football playoff time now. Now that we're in week 10, this feels like genuine football playoffs.
Yeah, you don't have to sit there and kind of break apart who's in bracket play, who's not. Yeah, I mean, you kind of get back to the feel of this is the start of playoff football and telling you, a lot of good matchups this weekend.
No question about it. We just run through the state of Kansas, the 2021 state playoffs, and we'll begin at Class 6A. You'll hear these names, not because they play so much teams around us, but because there are a lot of guys coming off of these teams that you're going to see in maybe Benedictine uniforms in the next years.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are playing Saturday football. You know the other thing? A lot of these schools are schools that are typically here, right? And I don't just mean that in 6A. I feel like as you roll all the way through, there's a handful of newcomers, but for the most part, their names you're pretty familiar with hearing this time of the year.
Yeah. For example, at the top of the thing, you're going to have Blue Valley Northwest, and there's a lot of you got to get a compass out for some of these games because there's a lot of directional teams. Blue Valley Northwest, Olathe South. You'll have at the ODAC, one of our favorite places. You got Olathe North and Olathe Northwest. Blue Valley and Blue Valley West, Olathe West, Shawnee Mission Northwest. Then we go out to the west part of the state with Derby and Wichita East. Washburn Rural, who's in the west part of the state, is going to be up against Free State, Manhattan, Gardner-Edgerton, and Junk City, and the Chesty Lions.
Talk about Washburn Rural and a coach that knows a lot about winning some ball games, and that's Steve Buehler. You know, you look at Washburn Rural, they are 8-1 right now. Their only loss, an overtime loss at Junction City, 18-17.
So they are legitimate, they are good, and there's some great teams in 6A as we count down into the playoffs. You go to 5A, man, you don't have to go very far to see some super teams here.
Yeah, Mill Valley knocked off Highland Park last week 38-0, so Mill Valley will be at home with the T-Birds of Shawnee Heights. Topeka Seaman is going to be home with Blue Valley Southwest. You're going to have Spring Hill hosting St. Thomas Aquinas, as Aquinas got by KC Washington last week, 48-17, and Spring Hill was able to beat Schlegel 64-6. It's the Purple Dragons of Pittsburgh knocking off Turner last week 63-0, and Pittsburgh will host DeSoto. DeSoto ended Topeka West season 50-26 in that matchup. You've got Capen hosting May South, and that game is going to be played at Wichita Heights. You got Wichita Northwest hosting Salina Central, Andover hosting Hayes. Mays will host Bishop Carroll.
So it'll be interesting to see as these teams move forward. There's some of the teams that we follow, and again, you know, some teams that I think we follow because we are familiar with graduates out of some of their programs for one reason or another, and there's some pretty good ball clubs right there. You got to love 5A.
Now let's drop down to, 4A?
Yep.
There's some teams close to here.
I tell you what, I've always been a huge Class 4A fan. I don't know why. Maybe it goes way, way, way back to when so many teams around here were Class 4A in the days gone by. Basil Linwood is going to be at home. We love those guys down there. They've always been good to us, and they are good, and they have a tough opponent in St. James Academy. Here are two teams that roll up a lot of points. 53 rolled up by Basel last week. St. James rolls up 56. I don't think defense is going to be a big key in this one.
Yeah, I think you're talking about two teams that are going to score a lot of points. You drop down in the bottom half of that bracket. You have Paola, who beat Lansing last week. And so Paola will be home with Piper, who, you know, only beat Coffeyville by 40.
Yeah. There were, by the way, there were only a handful of close games in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of what you anticipate sure. when you get to this time, especially for the first round where in Class 4A, what, everybody, I think, makes the field in 4A. So you're kind of weeding some of those teams down.
No question about it. And then the next game up on the east side, you'll have Bishop Miege on the road. They will travel to Chanute. And, of course, the game that you're going to have on Care Radio, the final game in the east half, Atchison hosting Eudora. Eudora defeating an Ottawa team 48-12. And Atchison, I tell you what, a nail-biter. One of the best games in the state last week as they defeated Fort Scott at home 14-6.
You know the advantage to that game? If you're Coach Smith, at least you're up a full score, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, like one
play
possession
cannot put you behind.
Right. You know, being up the full eight is a better feeling than being up six or being up seven where the team can go for
absolutely.
Two, right?
Class 4A on the West Division, the west side of the state, it'll be Bueller at home with Winfield. You've got McPherson at Mulvane. Wamego will host Augusta. And at Andover Central, they will be entertaining Towanda Circle. So there you go. A lot of teams. There's some teams there you're not real familiar with. Some that you are, you know, the McPhersons and the Wamegos and the Buellers. But, you know, not so much maybe Winfield and Mulvane and Augusta and Towanda. Towanda's a team that's moved up in bracket size. They're a growing community there.
One of the teams to maybe keep an eye on. I'm kind of interested in that Mulvane-McPherson game because, and yes, it is McPherson because there's no fear. In
there's no fear.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, McPherson got a basically a bye last week because Arc City had to forfeit, so it's a 1-0 type game. So you talk about McPherson, they're going to be the most rested team when it comes to round two of the playoffs.
Is it hurt? Does it help or hurt, though? I mean, that's kind of
that double-edged sword. And everybody has their own opinion on how their team, you know, comes back from a week off, you know, so
everybody's going to put the best spin on it that they can. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's nice to get a little rest, but I'm in that camp of while I'm playing and while I'm in a routine and, you know, that Monday is rehab day and Tuesday is this and Wednesday we introduce new stuff. And, you know, you've got a routine and you got to stick with that.
Yeah, especially, you know, that late in the season, you're just kind of in that groove and just keep it going.
And if you're playing well.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop.
Yeah, but if you're playing bad, then maybe it's a chance to hit the reset
break
and everybody kind of healed up a little bit.
2021 Kansas State playoffs in Class 3A will find Galena at home with Frontenac down in the southeast corner of the state. You'll have the Wildcats at Topeka Hayden hosting Rock Creek.
That could be a good game, right?
I would think so.
Hayden blanked Iowa in their season 49-0 and Rock Creek defeats Bishop Ward 34-17. So
there are a couple of the best players in the state on these two teams also. They'll be great matchups, individual matchups. How about Girard? They will be at home with Parsons and the Holton Wildcats. This is a rematch of what has become, you know, quite a strong rivalry between Holton and Perry LeCompton. Not only are they both Big Seven league opponents, but in the past handful of years, they have run into one another on their way looking for state titles.
Yeah, Holton's still undefeated on the season. Perry LeCompton, the Cause under head coach Mike Paramore, are 6-3 this year. You look back, September 17th, that's been a minute ago, right? Was the last time these two teams played. That game was played at Perry LeCompton, and it was Holton coming away with the 28-7 victory in that ballgame.
Okay,
so Perry LeCompton, they'd like to kind of avenge that loss.
And Perry lost to Holton, they lost to Hayden, and
they
I'm trying to remember
to
the third.
Holton, they lost to Hayden, and maybe the outlier here, lost at Hiawatha 21-7.
Yeah, well, that's kind of an interesting game.
So,
hey, we move over to the West Abbott Estate in Class 3A. where you'll find Riley County. How'd they get in the west half of the state? They've got a home game with Concordia.
But isn't that a weird score in that first game with
18-15?
Yeah.
How do you get to 18? Three touchdowns and no PATs?
How do you get to 15, right? You know, yeah. I mean, like, there are lots of questions and lots of ways to do those things. So
I'll tell you, it was not five field goals. I'm just going to tell you right now. It was not that.
Concordia beats Colby 52-0. So, yeah, Concordia will be at Riley County. That shouldn't be such a trip.
No, that's not bad. Now, you want to talk about bus rides? We get to the rest of the games in the West, and they are definitely Western Kansas. I will officially designate them as truly Western Kansas. As you've got Andale at home. They're going to host Holcomb. You've got Southeast of Saline, who is, in my opinion, probably the best team in the state. And they are going to be at Gypsum, and they will be playing Chapman. Then you'll have Cheney at home with Wichita Collegiate. Collegiate's pretty good, but I'll tell you what, I'm kind of a fan of this Southeast of Saline bunch. They're a handful, man.
Yeah, Southeast of Saline has been really good. Andale has been great. I mean, I feel like you're kind of looking at those two to match up somewhere in that state semifinals, right?
Yep. Southeast of Saline coming in at 9-0, undefeated North Central Activities Association champions, and on the season, they blanked Minneapolis, gave up six to both Beloit and Ellsworth. They blanked Russell, Colby, Goodland, Smoky Valley, and Scott City before giving up seven last week. So they have given up less than 20 points in nine games.
Yeah, and you talk about Cheney. They're not bad themselves, right? They're 9-0 coming out of the Central Plains League. You know, they beat teams like Larned, Holcomb, Pratt, Hugoton. Beat Garden Plain 34-7. I mean, this Cheney Cardinal team is, you know, pretty good. So I think that's one of those games maybe you circle on your calendar for Friday night is Wichita Collegiate at Cheney, Southeast of Saline, Chapman. Like, you have some really good matchups and some really good teams in that west half of that bracket.
2021 Kansas State playoffs, we moved to Class 2A, where in the east side you'll find number one Riverton at home with Osage City. Riverton had to kind of sneak by Eureka in the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, Riverton coming into that ball game 6-2, they win, so they went up to 7-2. The Tornadoes of Eureka 5-4 is where they're going to end their season, but you know, talk about a good matchup in that first game. In the bottom half, it was Osage City over Southeast Cherokee 47-2. Rossville defeating Republic County 56-0. Nemaha Central over Pleasant Ridge 48-14. So in round two, it'll be Nemaha Central making the trip over to Rossville. That's not a bad trip, right?
No. No, I mean, that's not very far.
I feel like there's probably some cut through over there that, you know, makes that even better.
Yep. And you get down now to the west side of the state. There are some west teams out here with Hillsboro, who gets by Douglas by a huge margin. They've got Chaparral at Hillsboro. Cimarron, when you think Dodge City is as far as west you can go on the planet, it's not. Cimarron is the next town west. So you got Cimarron hosting Beloit. Kingman, okay, is hosting Garden Plain. And Hoisington has got attention.
Yeah, that might be the game in the west that has your attention, but there's definitely an East game that just jumps, right?
Maybe.
And I feel like for me, it's that Silver Lake St. Mary's game.
Yeah, you know, St. Mary's have kind of a surprise team. Here's the thing about St. Mary's, though. They've been a bigger school, and they've dropped down, you know, a little bit in size. And so when you're suddenly a little bit of a bigger dog in a smaller yard, that makes you kind of an unknown quantity and makes you a little more, you know, a little more dangerous. And again, we've got the geography fact. You always talk about 24 Highway. Here's another team. Silver Lake to Rossville is 8. You go another 8, and you're in St. Mary's.
Yeah, you know, two teams in that Mid-East League. And these two teams actually met earlier this season back on September the 10th. That ball game was played at St. Mary's, and it was Silver Lake coming away with a 29-28 victory.
How good is that?
Right? So, I mean, I think that if you're St. Mary's, you have this thing just, you know, a little more reason to blow this thing up on your schedule. That should be a fantastic game. So, again, we're starting to kind of get into those games that kind of draw your attention, right? Even if you're an outsider, you're just drawn to that matchup. How about we drop down to Class 1A?
Yikes, there are some games here, aren't there?
Opie, who got the bye last week, they're going to play Jackson Heights. Jackson Heights, a 52-point winner last week against Central Heights.
We saw Jackson Heights just a couple of weeks ago. They're good.
They're good. Jefferson County North, who earned that bye by defeating Jackson Heights, they will now host Troy. Troy, a 22-14 winner over Uniontown. Maybe one of the best logos in, you know, all of Kansas sports. But JC and Troy, I think Johnny's maybe going to have that game. Centralia, who earned their bye, they're going to host Valley Heights. Valley Heights, a 29-14 winner over Pleasanton. Linden beat Horton 59-13. They'll get Waubunsee, who is a 68-point winner over Northern Heights.
Yeah, the JC and Troy game is a rematch of an earlier contest played in the NEKL, and it was a closely fought game with the Chargers taking the win.
Yeah, that ball game was played back on October 15th at Jeff County North, and it was the Chargers coming away with a 22-12 victory in that thing. So a 10-point victory, you know, you'd like to think it means a lot, but right now, you're into the playoffs. Hit the reset button, right?
Hey, we're going to reset Class 1A and go out to the west half of the state where Inman gets the bye out there, and they've got Oakley. That's Western Kansas, and it's going to be at Inman. Conway Springs defeated Sacred Heart 68-0, and Plainville got a 1-0 win, if you will call it that, as they took a forfeit from Sublette. So Conway Springs and Plainville at Conway. It'll be Sedgwick getting a bye. They will host El Saline. El Saline stormed over Stanton County 48-0. And bottom half of the very bottom of the brackets with Smith Center, another 1-0 forfeiture win. They have Whitewater Remington. They defeated Ellenwood 40-13. Ellenwood's not terrible, so Whitewater Remington, pretty good. Smith Center, if you remember, do you remember when Smith Center had the longest winning streak, not only in Kansas, but in the nation?
Yeah, I mean, the Smith Center Indians the Smith Center Redmen are one of the best teams in the state of Kansas. 8-1 this year in Class 1A. Their only loss came just 2 weeks ago. Somehow they lost to Inman 38-15, so there is a chance that they could avenge that, but it wouldn't be until, the state semis. So.
Right, and you talk about Inman. Okay, one of the kind of cool mascots, the Teutons, okay? The Teutons are 8-0. They're undefeated on the year. Undefeated conference, Heart of America, 11-man division conference champions. And they gave up 3 points, okay, all season in the first, seven games before they had let Smith Center get 2 TDs on them in that first round game, or the first time they made. So, wow, how good is Inman?
So they went 7 weeks without giving up a touchdown.
Correct.
Right? I mean, like, the only points you had given up to that point was Plainville decided to kick a field goal. And
uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you, no point in a 48-3 game was a field goal.
But don't you think Inman was a little bit unhappy with them getting that field goal?
Yeah. I mean, the field goal was only to keep your scoreless streak
alive. How close? And how many teams, this would be a great research question for the Care Radio Sports Department research staff, how many teams in the state of high school football have gone a full regular season without giving up a point? And Plainville kicking that field goal was the only point given up all year by an Inman team who scores. I mean, this is not 8-man football, okay? This is 11-man football. There he scored 52, 68, 86, 40, 48, 60, and 60. It's a lot of points.
That's a whole lot of points.
That is a team worth watching. So we'll see how Inman does as the state goes on. Tell you what, we got to come back. We got tons of stuff to talk about. Sport Look rolling along. It's moving fast. We'll return right after this. Good to have you back with us here on Sports Look on a Thursday evening. And just as we shift our attention from all that fun high school playoff stuff too, college football and the Benedictine Ravens. We traveled down to Baldwin City last week, and the Ravens, I think, had a great game. Couple of little things that happened, and they lose to the number 5 team, now the number 4 team in the nation, Baker University, by a 28-23 margin.
Yeah, in a game where they made a few mistakes early on in the fourth quarter, they were able to come back and then had an onside kick that they They were right at it, right? I mean, I really thought, I thought Buteau had it. Yep. Next thing you know, somehow Nate Pauly comes out of the bottom of the stack with the football. But you kind of throw your hands up a little bit in that game because, you know, Benedictine played so well, just couldn't come out on top over Baker. And if you're Baker, again, continue to survive and advance a 28-23 victory in that thing. So for Benedictine, they're going to have to kind of right the ship. And this is kind of a, you know, a weird area to be in. You've got two games left.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any playoff aspirations anymore.
You have none.
And so, I mean, you just kind of go out and right now you're playing for pride. You're playing to have a winning record. And so, I mean, there's a handful of things. And sounds kind of crazy. We talked about it in our keys to the game a couple weeks ago. Like, you're going to finally see the end of that 2018 championship team. Like, the hangovers are, this is kind of the end of it, right? Jalen James, you talk about
Trey
Adger, mm-hmm. Evan Aguiar was on that team, you know what I mean? But, you know, those pieces are now, you know, through the system, and this will be the last couple games. So I think for Raven fan, it is. We talked about 2 weeks ago. I think you need to go out and just kind of enjoy the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you do that. And also what you're getting into is the completion of year one of the Joel Osborne era. I mean, in the Benedictine team, let's face it, anytime there's a change at the top, whether it's in business and you're stocking shelves at the Piggly Wiggly or whatever you're doing, when there's a change at the top, things are done differently. The new guy's got different ways of doing things, and it takes a little while to acclimate to that and to, you know, to get those things going in a different way and doing some different stuff. And for Benedictine, you know, I think that there have been those growing pains.
Yeah, and I think for Joel, you know, you get to the end of the first season and you say, okay, next year everybody kind of knows what my off-season program looks like, right? Because he came in, right at the Christmas break, so he was able to start to implement some of those, you know, spring workouts, spring practices. We had a full summer with him. He's, you know, got through fall camp. Next year, those players kind of come in and they say, okay, right after Christmas break, I know how we're going to start weights. I understand what we're going to kind of look at. I understand. Now, spring ball will be a little different because it'll be more of a spring ball feel versus a couple games and playoffs type thing, because last year was a little funny with that. But you're going to start to understand exactly what coach is looking for and how to approach, you know, the spring. I'm going to tell you, spring football and college football is one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand, right? I mean, you think of, like, high school football. You go out there, you practice in the fall, and you go play. Then when it comes to the winter, you're playing basketball, and when it comes to the spring, you're running track, you're doing baseball, you're doing whatever. Football is a different animal, right? Like, you're done here in, 2 weeks, okay? So you're going to get that month between Thanksgiving and Christmas break to probably idle down a little bit, work on finals, go home, kind of enjoy yourself for 1 month. You come back in January. To me, that was always the hardest. Like, you come back, the first day back to school, you're already doing weights, you're doing your study hall, you're learning classroom stuff. You're preparing for a season that's 9 months away. And I think that's what's hard is the spring practices, the spring weights, that is really the grind when it comes to college football.
Okay, I have two questions to pose to you, and they're on very different topics. Number one, kind of on where you were, talking about spring workouts and so forth, Benedictine was able to, for the first time in a long time, maybe first time ever, had a lot of guys who were able to stay in town last summer and did some, you know, were able to do conditioning through the summer, got summer jobs and stayed in town. Did that help?
Yeah.
Is this team better because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it helped them to pick up Joel's system a little quicker and be able to understand what they were going to be doing when it came to fall camp. And the other thing it helps to do, it just helps to pull your team together, right? You're here during the summer. You don't have any of the other kids on campus. I mean, you're hanging out with the other guys on the team. And I'm going to tell you, yes, you do hang out with those guys during the regular season, but when school is back, you have other friends, so, you know, you have a bigger pool to draw from. During the summer, it's just the guys on the team. So, yeah, that helps to draw them a little closer, and, yeah, you just all get on the same page.
Okay, one more question, and this is so far in left field that you're not even going to know what to do with this. But I'm going to throw this at you. As we're talking about Benedictine and the coaching staffs and so forth, you refer to Coach Osborne. You refer to him as Joel. You've always referred to his predecessor as Coach Wilcox. Now, is it just because of the difference in age, the difference in, how is he, you know, is it because you're closer to the same things? What is it? How can you call him Joel, but yet it would never been Larry?
Yeah, I think probably just because
By the way, I never go Larry. It's right. Always Coach.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, it just is.
I think it's a little of both, right? I think it's some of it is, you know.
Because he was your coach?
Well, so I think for Coach Wilcox, he was my coach, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, down in Baldwin last week, we ran into Coach Alexander, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, even though he's Walt, he's still Coach Alexander,
yeah.
Right? But if I see Blake, I don't call him Coach Alexander because we're the same age. We didn't, you know, he never coached me. But he's still a coach. So I think sometimes it comes down to, Jimmy Smith, I call him Jimmy, maybe more than coach just because I didn't play for him. So I think that's maybe how you attack that. But let's get out of our rabbit hole and talk about the games that went on around the Heart of America Athletic Conference last week. There were no good games, right? I mean, it was kind of what we expected. Benedict and Baker was the best game of the day, and that's what we had anticipated. Grandview beat Peru State 27-7. Culver Stockton over William Penn 52-28. William Penn has just been kind of a snowball of a mess.
Have they tanked? Are they done?
Yeah. In Lamoni, it was Clark, a 37-14 winner over Graceland. Evangel knocked off Mid-America 37-29. That game was closed for a while. And then I was a little surprised by this. In Fayette, it was homecoming. You expected it to be a big rivalry game. Well, it might have been a rivalry game, but Central Methodist sure took care of Missouri Valley 41-7. So
yeah, the first five games were not only the winners, but kind of the margins you'd have expected. That one jumps out, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so now shift your attention towards this weekend, and you're going to crown a couple conference champions this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're big games. Now, games.
Do you like that it worked out just by happenstance?
Absolutely.
How the schedule worked out. It was a late game versus. Yeah. Sometimes this game happens in week one or week two of
right.
the after the break. Right?
Right.
So let's call it week six, seven, something
like that.
Divisional
play.
Yes. Yeah. But it doesn't. It's the second to last game.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, too, this time of the year, you can't lose, right? Like, I mean, this is the last two games are what really hurts you in falling in the national standings.
Well, here we go with games that don't matter. You've got Graceland at Peru State, okay? You've got Mid-America, Missouri Valley. You got William Penn Clark. Those are all painfully valueless games.
Yeah, I mean, for Clark, it's a chance to get a couple wins. For William Penn, it's a chance to, you know, chalk one up. I mean, it just doesn't do much for
you. However, you got big games with, of course, our game, Benedict and playing Evangel and Nixa game. We'll hear about Care Radio Saturday at 1. Then the other two, the championship games. For the North, you're going to have Grandview. For them, good news, they're at home with a scrappy Culver Stockton team. And, Benedict and losing to Grandview, Benedict and able to overcome Culver Stockton. Having seen them both, what do you say?
Grandview wins by
two scores?
Three, four touchdowns.
That much?
Yeah, because I don't understand Culver Stockton. And I know that sounds weird because Culver Stockton has played really close. They beat some teams. They almost had Baker, right? They just couldn't put together a final drive in that Baker game to get a field goal is all they needed. But then they play Benedictine, and what? I mean, we expected a good game. I think we were asleep at halftime because the Ravens were just drumming them. I mean, just ran away from them. And then I said, I walked away. We're walking out of the complex, and I made this exact comment. I said, well, same old Culver Stockton, right? I mean, they wanted to change the narrative coming into the season, but when I walked away from that game, I'm like, it's the same team. It's just not a very good team. And then they go on to, you know, win some of these games, and I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, Grandview wins that thing handily.
And does the same thing happen in Fayette?
Ooh, I don't know about that. The reason I don't know that is because Baker is a good team, right? But this Central Methodist team, it feels like it's almost a destiny-type team this year for them because right now they're playing out of their minds. They're 7-2 overall. They're 3-0 in the conference. And you start to look at some of the things they've done. Central Methodist, I believe, let's pull it up here. they've got one of the best home records in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. Yeah, see, they're undefeated at home. This game is at home. They're 5-0 at home this season. Their two losses, at Culver Stockton by, what, 8? And then they lost to Grandview.
So are they the sleeper in this conference?
Yes, definitely. Okay. I mean, and it's weird. They're, like, moving up into the top 25, and I think they're a team that, you know.
And the people in the conference office would like to see, I mean, I don't know if they're going to cheer against Baker, but they would not be upset if Central Methodist won, because that would, I think, propel the conference into 3 postseason teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's your only chance for 3 postseason.
Oh, yeah. That's
teams,
the only chance.
So, yeah. I think.
And then Central Methodist would need a convincing last week win at home. Or excuse me, Central Methodist is going to be with Evangel in their last week, and they would have to go back down there and win, I think, convincingly to solidify their spot, not in the conference standings, you know, but in the national polls.
Yeah, so if they are able to beat Baker, I mean, do they start sizing up the De La Ron statue out front?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that kid has shown up and just balled out for this team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as a freshman, they're 7-2. These are places that Central Methodist is not used to being.
Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, you don't want to get in too big a hurry because you don't want to have the Mahomes drop-off.
Yeah.
3 years in.
You also worry anymore with transferring. I mean, you know.
Could he decide
yeah,
to hit the portal?
Yeah, you just kind of wonder if this kid, because he came from a big program, right?
Yes.
Then he comes down. He has a whole lot of success. You don't think there aren't some teams that are saying, hey, would you like to come to X, Y, or Z school? And, I mean, I think that would be kind of tempting. And he says, you know, I'm good enough, right?
Uh-huh. And, and that's true.
Yeah. So, anyway, a couple big games going on this weekend, and some conference championships are going to be decided.
There you go. Hey, we'll be with the Ravens at Evangel this Saturday at 1. We'll be back. We got lots more Sports Talk right after this. Welcome back here to Sports Look on Care Radio. And Gus, we've changed our focus a little bit to Benedictine College basketball, Lady Ravens.
And Christian, then, a couple nights ago, they went to William Woods and over there in Fulton. And Lady Ravens able to come away with a 72-41 victory there. So right now, the Lady Ravens, 2-0. They brought back a lot of pieces from last year's team. Also are going to filter in a few, you know, nice new pieces to this team. And this weekend, they're going to be close to home,
yeah.
Right? Like, so if you're interested in catching the Lady Ravens, they're going to be down in Baldwin. Baker always has an early season, you know, classic game. And Benedictine Ladies will be at Baldwin on Friday, the 4 o'clock game against Oklahoma Wesleyan. And then Saturday, a noon tip-off with a former Heart of America Athletic Conference team in Avila. Then what, next Friday?
A week from tomorrow.
Yeah. Depending on how high school football shakes out, we'll have them possibly at the Nolan next Friday night as they'll host Lion at 7:30.
Yep, in the Benedictine Classic, and then Saturday they got a 3 o'clock ball game with Health and Sciences and Pharmacy. So,
are you familiar with that at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, as long as you're honest about it. So no. Right now, Coach Folsom's Lady Ravens 2-0 and playing pretty well in the early going.
The Benedictine guys, we got to see them the other night, and the Raven men playing extremely well. They are 3-0, winning over Lincoln and then over Briarcliff on Halloween Hoops last Saturday in the second of our triple header. And then Monday night, we were back up at the Nolan. They defeated Haskell. Haskell's a good team. Ravens winning that one 86-68. BC's going to be on the road at the Cattle Classic. All right, in Seward, Nebraska this weekend. Friday they'll be playing Hastings, and Saturday they will play the host Concordia team.
Yeah, so Benedictine starting out this season 3-0. The last time they started off as well, you have to go back to the 16-17 season where they started out 6-0 before losing in overtime to Park. So,
yeah, and if you want to see the Raven men's team in the Nolan, you've got 2 chances before the end of the year. Okay, that's crazy. They've got Avila at home coming up on Thursday, the 11th, okay, on the November 11th, Thursday, Avila. And then one more home game on the 11th of December as we start conference play at home when they have Park there.
You got the 4th.
Oh, I forget, the 4th, right. That's right. Mid-America on the 4th, and then on the 11th, Park, so as the conference gets started.
Yeah, so We'll go back to that December 4th game real quick. That is, we'll talk about it more as you get there. That might be the game you circle on the calendar. That might be Rock's last trip to Atchison.
Rocky's farewell tour. We'll be back wrapping it all up right after this. Sports Hook here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Gus, last week, the Kansas City Chiefs, everybody thought they would just come in and destroy the Giants and kind of right the ship. Well, they did get the win, but they certainly didn't look like the USS Yorktown.
Yeah, I walked away from that game going, man, I still don't feel any better about this team, right? Because you turn the ball over in the red zone again. I think the only thing I walked away from and said, okay, I feel nice about that was Derek Gore, right? I mean, you had a running back, and I was texting a buddy, and I said, you know who Derek Gore kind of reminds me of? And you're going to just
Frank?
Throw your head back? Yeah, I mean, he's not quite that good. He reminds me a lot the way he runs the ball, a lot of those jump cuts, a lot of that good side-to-side vision. Just reminds me of Priest Holmes, right?
Okay.
Kind of smaller, a little lower to the ground. Priest was a really good running back, but...
One piece a little wider across the middle.
Exactly.
The shoulders,
you know,
a little broader.
And, you know, but this kid doesn't run like Jamal, right? He's not going to hit the hole and run away from you, okay? I mean, that's just not his style. I think he's fun to watch. He's got good vision, and you know what else that helps is... If you can run the ball, again, it opens up that over-the-top game. So, I mean, right now the Chiefs are looking for a running back who can be, you know, that can opener, right? Like, to be able to take the top off of things by drawing those safeties down.
So, would the Chiefs be a much better team today if they had a in-his-prime Jamal Charles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but every team would be a lot better, right? You know, I mean, that's like saying the Ravens would be better this year if they had a Marquise Stewart again, right?
Yes.
Like, everybody is better with the Marquise Stewart, right?
So what you're saying is, and we're going to agree on this, I know when I get done with twisting
this. I know where
you're
going, and the answer
is if you got a running game and a good running back, you're a better team.
Yeah, you got kind of that guy that you can lean on at running back. Yes, you are a better team.
Well, the Chiefs made a defensive move, and they've been trying to get this cat for years, and I'm surprised that the Steelers allowed him to go to an AFC team, but they did, and Melvin Ingram is now a Chief.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram played quite a bit in the first 2 weeks, and then you saw his snaps start to decrease. He went 50-50-30 down to 14 snaps, and he just wasn't happy. He's like, hey, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to play, and if not, cut me or trade me. And I think it came down to nobody else was calling because everybody else just figured that the Steelers would have to cut him after the deadline. Kansas City said, we'll give you a 6, and I think for Pittsburgh, you say, 6 is better than nothing. I think right now, though, a lot of people around Kansas City are keeping an eye out and an ear out because it sounds like Odell Beckham Jr. is going to find his way out of Cleveland here maybe by the end of the day, maybe, you know, by the end of the weekend.
Are the Chiefs in that market? Do they have the money in the cap room?
So supposedly, they, you know, by getting rid of Tardif and some things that they did that, yeah, I mean, they supposedly are one of many teams that are interested in Odell Beckham.
Oh, there should be many teams interested.
There should be, yes.
Well, Kansas City Chiefs adding a piece to the puzzle. They'll need them all as they have the 7-1 Packers coming in Sunday at 3:25. However, it's a 7-1 Packer team without the number one keystone cog in the machine.
Yeah, so yesterday morning, the line opened up at Chiefs -1.5. And you think, all right, well, that's weird. But you're home, and home gives you, like, 3 points, okay? Then it jumped all the way up to 7.5 when they found out Rodgers isn't going to play. And as of this morning, it's up to 8.5. So the Chiefs are getting a full touchdown because Aaron Rodgers is not going to play. I'm going to tell you, Jordan Love, this is going to be a good chance for him to get to play. And like Andy Reid said, there were a lot of new quarterbacks over the last weekend that probably shouldn't have won, and they came away with wins. So you can't just chalk it up as a win. But for the Chiefs, you talk about the bullet you just dodged because your next 3 games were going to be, what, Packers, Raiders, Cowboys? Packers lost their starting quarterback. The Raiders have a lot of issues within themselves. And so now you can kind of look forward to the Cowboys and any coach or any team that's coached by a Baker grad, I'm liking my chances there. So, you know, but yeah, I think for the Chiefs, you dodged a little bit of a bullet, but again, the Packers are still going to be really good on Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday at 3:25, Chiefs hosting Packers over under 48. Tonight, I tell you what, if you're old enough and you can remember Super Bowl III, well, then this game will mean something to you. Other than that,
this may be the worst Thursday night game of the season, and yet it could be highly competitive because both these teams stink.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'll probably watch it, right?
Yeah.
Because the Jets quarterbacks.
But I love the Jets. You know I love the Jets.
So for the Jets, last week they started a guy for the first time, his very first NFL game, okay? And there was a funny little stat, a Caesar's book thing, that somebody bet $1,000 that this quarterback would lead the NFL in passing last week. He was getting 125-1 odds. You know what? He led the NFL in passing with over 400 yards of passing last week. So this kid's kind of fun to watch. Again, don't get too sold on him. He's not going to start once Wilson comes back. But Jets-Colts, yeah, I guess replay of Super Bowl III. Joe Namath is probably going to call a shot again, right?
Yeah,
you know, but
sure.
I don't know. India, 10.5-point favorite. I think that's a little odd. But I think it should be pretty competitive, so might be fun to watch. Not a whole lot of good games going on in college football or the NFL. You talk about another one. Browns at Bengals is maybe one of the better games of the weekend. That's a noon game. Cincinnati, a 2.5-point favorite in that thing. Titans-Rams should have been a really good Sunday night football game. Be interesting to see how the Titans adjust. Tennessee at 6-2, but having lost Derrick Henry for possibly the whole season, will be at the Rams, who are 7-1 and just added Vaughn Miller. Yeah. So that's a 7:20 Sunday night game. The Rams, a 7.5-point favorite there.
And the Sunflower Showdown, baby.
Is it a showdown or is
it
just a game within the Sunflower State?
I don't know what it is, but Kansas State is going to go to Memorial Stadium on Saturday, 11 a.m. Kansas State at Kansas. Here's the deal. KU fan says, you know, the line was 2 wins. We got that one real early in the season. Here's probably the only shot of getting another one. A K-State fan says, I don't care if we lose the next 42 games, but we cannot lose this one.
Yeah, I think Kansas State is starting to play better, right?
They
beat TCU the other day and ended the whole Gary Patterson era at TCU.
K-State's a fat favorite in this.
Yeah, K-State should be a big favorite. To favor by 24, I expect them to win by a lot more than that, right? I mean, I just think, after Kansas lost to Oklahoma State, or not Oklahoma State, lost to Oklahoma, the air just kind of went out of the sails. They got blown out by Oklahoma State. I just feel like they're ready to move on to next season.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've always been a Georgia fan. It kind of amuses and pleases me to see them at number one in the nation, and there's no one on the planet that I'd like to see them beat up on more than their opponent this week.
Yeah, Missouri is going to go to Georgia and play between the hedges, and that thing's going to get ugly quick. UGA, 38-point favorite in that one Saturday morning.
Huskers have a coach he's on the hot seat, and it doesn't get any better. His number 5, Ohio State, will come into Memorial Stadium in Lincoln Saturday at 11 o'clock. Also, Ohio State, oddly, only a 2-TD favorite on this game, and they've got to win by more than that.
Yeah, you know, I saw somewhere where a Nebraska fan was saying, yeah, but we're playing a lot of really good teams. But the problem is, at Nebraska, you're expected to be one of those really good teams, not just to play those really good teams, right? Kansas can say, hey, we're playing a really tough schedule. We're hanging with, you know, in Oklahoma once in a while. At Nebraska, they don't look at it that way, right? Because they don't have anything else to hang their hat on.
Can Scott survive this?
No.
I don't think
so. I mean, and I think that's too bad because I think he is a good coach, but I think when he went back there, there's too many problems in Lincoln. And here's the biggest issue, and I heard somebody talking about this the other day. Kids now, they don't ever remember Nebraska having been good.
That's too bad.
Right? Because when I was growing up, like, the one thing that went through my mind was when Nebraska was in the Orange Bowl in, like, 95 or 6 when they played Miami. But since then, like, my biggest Nebraska memory is that famous picture at Memorial Stadium where Kansas beat them, like, 70-30 or something like that. And since then, Nebraska's just not been a program that anybody's really interested in. They struggled to get the recruits.
So you don't remember Thanksgiving 1971 when Oklahoma and Nebraska.
You ready? This will drive Nebraska fan nuts. Nebraska's Kansas State. Middle of the road, going to win a lot of games one year, going to be, you know, 500 the next year.
They did have a year or two there where they were really, really, you know, I'm
right,
referring to Nebraska more than that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I think, like, right now, it's when you have an 8-3 type year, you're like, that's fantastic. But then you turn around the next year and you're, you know, 5-6 or you're 6-5, you know. But, again, I just think for Nebraska fan, I hate to say it, but it's just not what it was.
Braves win the World Series, and I tell you what, everybody in the world used to be, and again, you don't even remember this, when Superstation came in and broadcast every game, Ted Turner put every game on television. It was kind of, it was unheard of at the time, and now, of course, with the, you know, proliferation of sports broadcasts and media coverage, you know, it's like every day, every team, but they were the biggest thing in the world, won a World Series, and they kind of fell away, but with a lot of Kansas City Royals ties, the Braves are the world champions.
Yeah. You know, Jorge Soler is the World Series MVP. How about Terrence Gore having won his third World Series? What? He won in back-to-back years. I think he was with the Dodgers last year. He's with the Braves this year. You talk about a guy who won three World Series rings, and I don't think he probably has started three games in his whole Major League career. So, pretty impressive there.
And, of course, you've got, like, Sal Fasano, one of my favorites, Mike McFarland on the staff.
Yeah. See, lots of, you know, pieces that you can pull there.
We got some pieces to put together with football coming up here on Cant Radio and basketball, as tomorrow night we will have from Amelia Earhart Stadium, Eudora at the Atchison Phoenix 7 o'clock ballgame, as it is the postseason in 4A. Saturday afternoon from Nixon, Missouri with the Cant Radio pregame at 12:30. It'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff, Benedictine at Evangel next Thursday. Sports Look and BC Men's Basketball with Avila. Gotta thank our wonderful sponsors, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Till we greet you tomorrow night, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.